Okay. Gaines, do you want to ask your question?
Yeah, so...
Sorry about that. Hopefully it's going to be all good now.
No, it's fine. So I quite remember a few facts, well, I don't know if it was a satsang or on the course, I was being a lot more open to beliefs and karmic tendencies. And over these past few weeks, I've noticed, after a bit of resistance, where some of these things are playing out. And at first, there was quite a lot of resistance from mind because it just couldn't quite assimilate how some one thing, getting frustrated at one thing, was related to how like frustration was kind of related to having a belief around time. And but now I've kind of been looking at that, I can see it a lot more playing out in a lot more areas. And even I think I spoke to you and I said about like shoulds and shunts, like even if you're having shoulds and about somebody else, really that's still something.
It's about you, isn't it?
You.
It's about
yeah. you. So that I've been noticing that even more, like how that's, you know, if I think, I don't know, it might be a sign of unworthiness in me if I'm kind of, you know, shoulding something else. And that's kind of got a little bit more clearer, and I've been looking at that. And then there's quite a lot of other things that have been coming up this week, because all around desire as well, because I think there was a post from Rakesh this morning about that. And I kind of, and the day I was talking about wants too, and I kind of looked at that from a different, well, even though you probably say it lots of times, I kind of understood it differently, how the manifestation works. So if I'm kind of understanding that right, it's more of, you know, it's the unmanifest formless you, and then it becomes ever more tangible.
Yes.
Is that what you're kind of saying?
Yeah. First, something manifests in a thought form, doesn't it? First, there's the unmanifest awareness, and then it manifests as the thought form, I want. I need, you know, something like that. Mm. But also at the same time, it's coming down into a feeling, you know, I would really like this thing. And then it's coming into the next manifestation might be that you see it out there, you know, in your world, the thing that you want.
Mm.
And then it's coming into your experience. And all of these are happening. They can happen very, very quickly. In fact, you can even not even be conscious of any of it as the noumenon is. So manifestation isn't an all or nothing thing. It's like water vapor. It's invisible, sort of condensing down into liquid and then condensing down even more into something solid like ice. And mm. then we say, oh, this thing has manifested, but it was really in a process anyway. And if there's a belief in, well, you were feeling a lot of frustration in certain areas, weren't you? So there's a frustration is coming from a core idea inside that what I want isn't coming fast. You know, that's the story behind frustration. That's the root. Mm. And the main trunk is the energy of frustration of the tree. And then there's all these branches in turn up in my life where I want these things, but they're just frustratingly slow, or it's happening, but just so slowly, you know,
mm.
or I can't seem to, you know, it'll involve time definitely for frustration.
Yeah. And I think when I asked a question exactly about sleep, and you said it's not, we talked about sleep, and I realised, oh yeah, I don't go to sleep, you know, my true self doesn't sleep. So then, is that the kind of, when that really sinks in, I remember you saying, when that really sinks in, that's the kind of thing that pulls the concept of time apart, really, is because if you don't sleep, then there's no... I'm just trying to.
If you're outside of time, you're outside of time, aren't you?
Yeah.
Time and space. And that only happens, time and space are only applicable if you're in a location and a self is in all locations simultaneously.
Yeah.
And that becomes more obvious that it cannot take any time for what I want to come, you know, because firstly, I don't want anything as a self, but also time doesn't apply to me. And that's why we experience, you know, what people call miracles, really, because the time factor has been taken out of it. And the limiting I want has been taken out of it. So more and more something is just appearing that's way more amazing than you could sort of imagine yourself.
Yeah. And I think mind grabs hold of that and thinks, oh, if I can just fix this then, I can see ego grabbing hold of that, then what I want will happen. But I can see that's not me doing that. I can see that's ego, and then
as it sinks in, you have to step out of the process, step out of time. What I mean by that is don't agree with those thoughts. You know, something big is going to take a long time to come. Something, you know, if I sit here and think really hard, I can make a bottle of wine turn up, you know, because that's easy. That'll have for 5 minutes. But if I want a new house, that's going to be, you know, whatever. But none of these forms are really here, which we'll look into next week in the way that, you know, as we discussed a little bit in satsang. So even to want something means you've separated yourself from it and it's separate out there. And in the end, you don't want to do that. You just sort of living from a place where you're already full inside and seeing what wants to turn up. More and more, the desire is not wrong, but it's just a slower, much slower way of getting what you want. And as you've seen with the frustration, it will begin to slow down what is naturally manifesting, because the more you're just feeling I am, you know, as a self, if you're then sort of agreeing I want, then it's a complete 180 on what you've seen yourself to be. And it's sort of saying there's something outside of me, the infinite self, that I can want, and, you know, even if it's not a tangible thing like more time, you know, it's still going to be, you don't even have infinite time, you're timeless. It just doesn't apply to you. You know, it kind of takes a little while to get your head around, because we're so taught to think of ourselves as, I've only got 24 hours in a day, and so much of it is when working, and, you know. Can you hear me okay?
Okay.
Can you hear me all right?
Yeah? Bit, Helen.
Oh. Yep. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just breaking up a little bit, but...
How's that now? Let me try...
That's a bit better.
How's that without my... Is that any better?
Yeah.
Is that better now without the video?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There it is.
Connection's just dodgy today. So as long as you can hear, that's fine. Lovely. Yeah. Is that all good then? Or is there anything else you wanted to ask?
No, that's fine. Just one final thing, I suppose, if that's all right. So when there's a fear that attached to that desire, that... It might, is it fear or, I don't know, just that things that might never show up, then is that just to recognize that's just ego as well, and it's all around that knowing that there is kind of no mistakes in the self, as self.
I would take it as far back as you can to the truth, not even that things have to show up, because that's still in duality. Just the truest experience you can have is I am.
Right.
You know, not to even agree that I want. Again, don't make any desires wrong or bad, but just not to agree that I want or I need, even if that sense arises in the body. You know, that's like right now, if I agree that I want more internet bandwidth, guess what's going to happen? You know, so it's just to live from the true place, you know, where the feeling that I want is there because it's going to happen anyway. What's destined to happen is going to happen. You know, okay. And there's nothing you can do to get in the way. Best you can do is slow it down with really agreeing that I want. You know, okay. That's and you might not be so much agreeing that I want, but there might be more of a subtle agreement with it's coming, but it's taking too long. You know, it right, might not be yeah. playing as obviously. But even that yeah. is not true for you, is it? That it can take a long time, or that you want anything.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not true for the self. There's nothing mm-hmm. that it wants or needs.
Okay, yeah.
Your mind will never get this, and it'll never agree that it's a good idea to let go of desire. But it just becomes more obvious that it's just not true. There's never been two things. There's only been the one. You know, so.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, no, that does help. I think you just need to say seek in, maybe, and.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fastest way to get what you want is to not want it. That's the bit that pushed me over this. Like, oh, okay, then, you know.
It's just not true. And that's because of the natural manifestation and ego's just getting in the way.
Yeah, and I saw so many times, Gaina, that whatever was going to show up when I didn't get in the way of that process was so much better than anything that I could imagine. Mm-hmm. You know, and even if I could spend my whole life describing what my perfect life would be, it would still not touch what wants to happen naturally anyway.
Yeah.
There's just okay. no comparison at all. It's like trying to watch an amazing movie, just trying to understand an amazing movie that's released. Everyone says it's great just by watching the trailer for it, you know. It's just right. doesn't compare at all.
So that's a good way to put it.
Lovely.
Okay, thank yeah, you. Thank you. Thanks.
No problem. Amy, thanks for waiting, Amy. I'll leave my video off just in case it screws it up again. But
yeah, no, that's fine. Thank you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to touch in about, so the location thing is sort of my biggest question at the moment, but I've noticed that, I noticed from the beginning really that there was mind coming in as kind of like a little blip of energy of needing and wanting it. So I've sort of stayed with that and worked with that dissolving, and then also ask the questions so just staying with that really, and then the heart energy releasing as well, as kind of like settle things down inside so that I can go deeper into that and just see that there's no one. I don't know, I had this moment. I was sitting in the park and I just was sort of tuning in, doing some meditation, and I kept losing, I just felt this really heavy sensation in the body, and then I kept losing consciousness, and I thought it was almost like sleeping and then nodding off and waking up, except that I wasn't really there. I can't really explain it. It was a bit weird, and then I had to go and teach, so I kind of tried to get up and walk, and that didn't work very well. And it was like I couldn't actually, it was like hard to actually move the body. And so I don't know if that was just a mind state that my brain went in I just wondered if that rung any bells for you, or
the first thing that happens is, you know, the awakened state has always been there in the background and none of us have ever noticed it. And we're so used to the egoic sense of self in the foreground of our experience, which is I'm doing, I'm meditating, I'm planning, I'm awake, you know, all of that. We know clearly what that is. So when you start to notice the noumenon more and more, something, identity begins to shift to I am that already, that noumenon, and that's happening whether we realize it or not. So what begins to happen is we thought we were an egoic sense of self, unaware of the noumenon behind it, for want of a better word. Isn't really behind, but you know what I mean. And we start to experience it the other way around. We start to experience being the pure awareness, and also the egoic sense of self is there. So every now and again in a deep meditation, the egoic sense of self disappears. So there's what this might be experienced as is just losing awareness of the body, losing awareness of time and space. You know, you might, first of all, when it happens, you might feel that you've gone somewhere. If some identity is still in the ego, you might have experienced that before in the past in a deep meditation where you just feel like, I don't know where I went, but I went somewhere and I want to go back there. You know, that feels so nice when I'm there. So this is happening. The sense of the timeless you is there and being noticed. And the one that moves around in time, the egoic sense of self, temporarily disappears. And that comes, this heaviness is just this influx of deep, deep, deep stillness and peace. And it's how we are when we're asleep, where there's just no thought activity, no sense of doership, nothing. And for most of us, it's the first time we've experienced that while we're awake, you know, sort of sitting upright. And it can feel strange at first, but most, it's only because it's happening consciously. It feels like sleep, or our brain associates it with being tired, because we experience it every night right before we fall asleep, you know, that where thought just comes to a stop. And, you know, the nanosecond before we actually fall asleep. So this is happening all the time, but we're not conscious of it. Now it's starting to happen consciously. It's completely possible to function as just that pure awareness with no sense of ego. But when it needs to come back in, it will. At first, there's a changeover kind of happening. And it may seem... you said when I needed to get up and walk, it didn't work so well. But naturally, if we just sort of stay as the self here, then the egoic sense of self will pop back up in the moment where it's needed. You know, I can be sat here 2 minutes before we get online, no awareness of time and space at all. And then there's just a trust that when ego needs to pop back in, it will, as a functionality, to get a sense of it.
That was my question, yeah, because it was a feeling of like, do I stay here? I want to stay here, but I've also got to go. So it's like this moment of, you know, and then, you know, kind of trying to push my legs. that's what I wanted.
That is your natural state. That's how you've always been. You just always sort of been watching the doer, the ego, rather than sort of noticing this natural state. When it first is experienced consciously, it can seem to incapacitate the body, but it doesn't really. It's just because there's no I'm doing driving energy still there at that time from ego. But as you see, ego is disappearing every time. Like right now you're listening, you're not thinking, ego's gone. You know, it'll come back then to form a question or something. It's popping in and out of existence continuously, ego. And it's gone all the time at night. So more and more, rather than wanting to stay in that beautiful place, you'll recognize I am that beautiful place. And ego pops back up to run the body mind when it needs to, you know, like to get up and do what you need to do.
So I should just stay kind of further back in that then, like just stay as I was and trust that it will.
Yeah, it'll start to happen more and more often, and it'll sort of stay longer and longer that you're just empty. You're just this now moment in which you're either aware of the body or not. You know, it's just the body's just there happening. And then you don't have to lose that in order for the ego. Normally we thought it's either or, you know, as the ego, we think we're an ego trying to get back to the self. But as the self, we're just here, and sometimes ego pops up also. A sense of someone pops back in that needs to do something. But you less and less, you just reside there as that self. It can be a bit strange when you first experience it, because you think there's no way I can move and function and drive my car, any of that stuff in this state. But you have to keep reminding yourself it's only your natural state. And you adjust, your body adjusts to the extra influx of stillness, energy, peace. And you'll be driving your car around in states of infinite bliss and peace that you didn't think before you couldn't even stay conscious in, you know. This is why most people have to go to sleep at night and sleep for so long, because they just can't function. They're not used to this. So you do, it's just like being in deep sleep, but your eyes are open, your senses are functioning, and mind can think as well, you know, but you're clear of what you are. Can you see the difference?
Yeah.
Before, when we're identifying as ego, many times we've experienced this deep place in sleep or in our deepest meditation, but we've had to forget about it when we came back out, because ego only remembers what it's relevant to it. You know, so it just, you might come out of a thing, a meditation like that, with a sense of, I went somewhere, it was nice, you know, and I want to go back. You know, so ego thinks in either or. I'm waving my hand around here, but of course you can't see me, that doesn't really help. That's that common stay, that deeper place, that is your real self, and that's going to move more and more to the forefront of your experience. And again, trusting that process, like you said, that ego will pop up when it needs to. It's always just been arising. It's like a software program then to make the body get up and walk or do whatever it needs to do.
And that sensation, the body being so heavy, that will integrate and it won't be so drastic. Or is it just because it's new that it's feeling drastic to me? Or
it's new. It's a little bit of both. The awakened state is, if you hooked somebody up to an ECG, what's the brain scan one? Is it ECG?
I think that's it. Yeah.
Anyway, if you measured someone's brain waves, a normal person out on the street, their brain waves would be vibrating very, very fast, alpha or beta waves. you know, the average person thinking. In deep sleep, in moments in sleep, you most of the time you're in theta brain waves, which are so much slower. And then occasionally you touch into delta brain waves at nighttime, where there's just no thought at all. It's just complete nothing, emptiness of the self. So you're starting to touch upon theta and then eventually delta brainwaves while you're conscious, while the waking state's present. So it feels like everything slows down. It feels like everything's quite, like somebody's turned up the gravity for a while, you know, and you might feel, your brain will try to tell you that you're tired because it thinks it associates delta and theta brainwaves with sleep. It hasn't ever been possible for us to experience it in the waking state. So there'll be an adjustment process where you just have to challenge these ideas that you can't move around in your life in these really slow brainwaves. It really is possible. Just because we're not used to it doesn't mean it's not possible. You know, there'll be this root idea, and I'm saying this because everyone will have it. I can't drive my car without thinking. You know, it's just, there'll be these ideas that we have underneath that get exposed here.
So it's just to be with the fears and dissolve the fears.
Yeah, just to keep reminding yourself, this is only what you've always been. Just because you thought you were the doer and all of that doesn't mean it was ever so. And that'll just help with this process as it shifts over. And enjoy it. You know, this is what you've been working for. You know, this beautiful, beautiful place where time stops there, doesn't it? You can just feel this timelessness about it.
Yeah, very, and good. I feel like the chanting's been helping as well. Like I've been doing it before I sit, and it kind mm-hmm. of, and I know it's probably acting on the brainwaves as well. It's kind of, there's a stillness there that's helpful as well.
You can really, you know, stillness becomes a really tangible thing upon the body in the natural state. It's very, very still, and it can feel quite heavy, but this is because we've carried these tensions inside ourselves as a separate being. You know, the very idea that we're going to die is terrifying. You know, so it has this tension in the body which begins to be let go of as we deepen in our awakening. You know, start to experience, so it can feel like your body's quite heavy. It is, as that shift over goes, it's really just a letting go of the tension and the stress.
Awesome, thank you.
Lovely.
So much.
Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. It's helpful for everyone. So
very exciting. Thank you.
Lovely. thank you. Mike?
Hello. Can you hear me?
We can. I can. Yep. Can you hear me?
Great. Yes. Great. So I was hoping to maybe use a little bit of this time to talk about what we've been emailing back and forth about. You had me contemplating that question, have I ever done anything wrong?
Yes.
And rather than go back many times over email, just to maybe try to talk it through a little bit in this time. And hopefully it sort of relates to what people have been talking about with like the ego feeling that it was taking responsibility for things it wasn't really doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I've thought to myself many times that, you know, the first biggest revelation of my life was the spiritual awakening and realizing what the self was and the true nature of myself. But the second one was really understanding my brain conditions, ADHD, complex PTSD, because up until that time, I would watch my brain and my body do certain things, like have a really bad memory, have cognitive functioning problems, reading comprehension problems. And then the ego would always come in and instead it would say that I did that, but it would also say, and you're wrong as a result of, you know, not being able to put that lamp together properly or always being late or always being forgetful. Or, and then when I found out like these are all symptoms of ADHD, I was like, wow, that, you know, so now it was, after that, it was just like watching my brain and body do these things. And the judgment went down. Yeah. So when you asked me, you know, have I ever done anything wrong? It's like, well, it just shows that very question shows the non-reality of thought in itself. Like things happen, you know, the brain makes choices, the body does things. And then after that, the ego comes in with this right or wrong label, you know, that's just basically used whenever the result is not desirable, it's wrong. When it's desirable, it's right. And when it's coupled with this strong emotion, it feels like it's really, the word wrong feels like it's really wrong. So that's where I am so far with this whole processing of that question. Have I ever done anything wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it is sort of beginning to undo a little bit of the emotions because the ego is strongly conditioned to believe in wrongness so much that, you know, when you said to process it until it has like little emotion attached to it, or you said something about it.
To contemplate, yeah. To take that question deeper than thought and emotional answers and even experiences. You know, you may have got some distance from those egoic beliefs that you've done something wrong, which is great. You know, there's an understanding for a lot of us quite quickly in our awakening that I'm not my biology. You know, how my biology is functioning is just how it's functioning. But also we want to change that biology, you know, to function in a smoother way, in a more appropriate way, in a way that's going to give us more of what we, you know, the stuff we want to experience. So that's the reason for the contemplation, is to begin to undo that you don't really believe you've done anything wrong anymore, but your ego still does, you know. So it's possible to undo that tendency by this deep contemplation, sitting with the question, is it really true that I've done anything wrong? And allowing all the levels of answer that want to come to that, but always staying open until that sense of something has gone. And so you get thought answers to start off with, as we've spoken about it before, but just to recap, then you'll get emotional answers. So the first thing you might feel after thought answers is a sense of relief or an expansion or an opening as you stay with this question. And those are great, but again, they're not permanent answers. So we're going to keep going with this question past experiences where things start to go right for you after a while. Even that is a temporary answer. And we, over the email, we were talking about, for me, when I had these patterns that I had to undo, I didn't stop the contemplation until they completely, the feeling and the thoughts had completely disappeared inside. You know, my ego's ability to think that it'd done something or it wasn't good enough or whatever. But also, it had completely disappeared from every area of my life. So the in here is the heads side of the coin and the out there is the tails. And I can tell how much I'm believing something or my ego is believing something by where it's showing up in my life. You know, so there's just this, if it's popping up even in a lesser way, even in a way that doesn't impact you so much or trigger you so much, it's still popping up in your life somewhere. It hasn't been completely eradicated. You get a sense of it.
Well, what I'm interpreting is that in the manifestation out there, that are you saying that, like, say in your life, if something that would have been called a mistake happens, like say you make a really bad investment with money and just lose a lot of money, inside nothing happens. Like nothing says to you, I made that mistake, I lost a lot of money. That's what I'm interpreting this. So it's not that mistakes aren't made. It's more that things happen, but there's no ability to call it a mistake or feel wrong. Is that what I'm interpreting?
That's the first stage. There's no, the contemplation back to the silence each and every time this pops up will take you to an inability to be triggered by anything that occurs. But also then when it's fully gone, that situation just will not happen in your life. Because if you're experiencing less of something, using an example you just gave, you know, you make a bad investment, you lose some money, that cannot happen in the awakened state. It's always got to be an expansion in the manifestation to more. So you will find that no matter what happens in everyone else's experience, you just seem to be uniquely placed to always experience more, you know, as a function of the natural state. So I use my contemplation. I looked at my life. Where is it not flowing effortlessly? Where is it not increasing in peace and all the things we want on an inner level, joy, happiness, love, all of that, but also in an external way. If there was anything that I still seemed to need or wasn't coming fast enough, then there's still some belief at play. And that's why we have a life and relationships and a physical body, is to show us where these things are playing out. The natural state is effortless abundance of everything all the time. That is exactly how, I don't want to say supposed to be, but that's how it's possible for us all to live. So if our life isn't flowing in that way, there is still some belief at play. And I wouldn't stop, if I were in your position, I wouldn't stop going to the root of this question and contemplation until it's completely gone. So you're not experiencing the sense of anything wrong at all ever in your life. See the difference?
Yeah.
You don't sound very convinced there.
Well, I'm not. I guess like I'm also thinking about like when you talked about like driving your daughter to school and you make quote unquote a wrong turn. Well, that's not really a wrong turn then, is it? Because you realize there's probably a reason I shouldn't have turned left at that particular moment. Like a car was coming the other way. Or
It still brings more, like that's happened before. Like, why on earth am I turning right here? Because it's technically a longer route home. But then I've got home and read on the news that there's a massive accident on that road and I would have been delayed, you know, so it's still not able to be seen as wrong. Until something stops, like today, the internet connection issue that I'm having is a small remnant of a frustration which I've been working on, and it used to show up everywhere in my life, and I'm still contemplating the frustration. And obviously from the fact of how it is today, I'm still experiencing it to a small degree, but it's more just a minor inconvenience. But I still won't stop with that questioning until it's completely stopped happening everywhere. It might just be a small thing happening, but it's still showing up in my life. Therefore, it must be inside me.
And how exactly do you contemplate something like that? Like, if things are still happening, you say to contemplate until you don't feel these things and it stops appearing. But what are the actual instructions for contemplating? If you said first go through a thought-based thing and then go through a feelings-based thing and then
always taking it back to the noumenon. The self-inquiry, guided self-inquiry, will show you how to do it for sake of time on this.
Okay.
And also there is the document on the website in the writings teaching section, how to use contemplation to transcend limiting beliefs.
Okay.
But the guided self-inquiry will show you how to finesse all the answers. But mainly for today, how to kill the root of the tendency is to take it back to the silence, the awareness, or, you know, because you notice eventually when you're asking this question and you just open, you're noticing the answers that come, and you're not making any of them right or wrong. You're even not making a silence or the awareness the right answer. You're just noticing that if I take it back every time something seems to go wrong, then I'm taking this question right back to the silence, then I'm chopping it at the root once and for all. And each time you do this, it will show up again somewhere else in your life, but it'd be in a much less way. So my life used to be constant frustration, you know, everywhere. It would show up everywhere. Now it's just down to this one little last thing because I've been working on it consistently. You know, it just shows up in a little minor way.
Okay.
Does that help?
Yeah, it does. It does. I've told you before that sometimes the way my mind is, it just jumps right to the noumenon. Because, you know, the noumenon presence is always there, so it just, you know,
see, that's my mind's not like, your
mind. That's the answer.
That's thinking about the noumenon is not the same as actually listening. And we're not trying to stop or control the mind at all in this contemplation. We're just saying, thank you, mind, for those answers. Are there any more? So it's an all-inclusive of all the answers. We all have a tendency to only listen to thought answers. So we're just undoing that tendency. Our reference point, our go-to answer is going to be the noumenon, the silence in which the thoughts are appearing. And
okay.
The more you do that, the quicker it gets. You know, you might only get three phenomenal answers and then silence, and then eventually just silence. You see?
Okay, I see.
Watch the guided self-inquiry and so there's no difference really between meditation, self-inquiry and contemplation, the way I'm describing it here, to actually dissolve the root of these karmic tendencies once and for all.
Okay.
And give us a shout if you've still got, you know, more questions.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. So we just got Barbara and Sheena. Okay, so Barbara. I know we're kind of running over time here, so if anybody does need to go, it'll be recorded. So, hello.
Hear me?
Yes, it's a little broken, but it's okay. Can you hear me? Okay.
Yes, thank you. Can I don't really know, as usual, if it's a question or not. My brain feels like scrambled eggs. I suppose I just want to confirm, this sounds just ridiculous, but nobody to do any of this though, is there? I mean, the suffering is coming and going by itself. Question.
Could you repeat that? I lost you just for a second there.
I'm thinking that there are still days where there is, you know, the suffering comes up and then it disappears again. You know, I'm doing all the checking in and so on, but then there are days when it's just not there and things are functioning normally. More and more finding that a lot of the time there's no motivation whatsoever to do anything at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I've kind of just been allowing that to be, you know, trying not to fight with that, although knowing that there are so many things that, you know, need to be done. I'm challenging the idea that, you know, it's possible to waste time, of course, because there isn't anything you're going to take out with you anyway when this stream is over. I don't know. I don't know what it is I'm trying to say. I remember reading in the Vashistha's Yoga that it said, not to bind to either, not to bind yourself to either doing or non-doing. But still, I'm sat there looking at it and thinking, well, so who would there be to bind to either of the two, to doing or non-doing?
Yep, and that's the perfect place to be then, isn't it? To there'll be a sense that you're not doing anything, and knowing a deep conviction more and more. And then there'll be the ego playing in front that just seems to be doing, and we just leave that alone and it gets on and does what it needs to do, you know, more and more. It's just ego becomes from a very hard, solid thing, you know, a sense of me, to just a very simple functionality, you know, a software program that's just running in front of the self, so to speak. You know, to look after the body and the mind. Does that help?
Yeah. No. I don't know. Yeah, it's fine. It's just something that I'm really kind of noticing, is that there's less and less impulse to do. And today has been the first day in many days where I've actually got up and got on with doing some things that I've been thinking about doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, just realizing that when the impulse comes, I might like to do this, that, or the other.
Yeah, it'll all happen in its natural time. You know, things that need to get done will get done if we don't have any idea of when they need to be done, or when I'm going to do them, I should say. You know, something needs to be done by Friday, you just watch and it'll happen by Friday. But without the idea, I need to do it by Friday, it'll happen faster and easier and it'll be effortless.
Strange thing, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's just a real letting life unfold, isn't it, from the awakened place. You're just watching and the body is quite capable of doing everything it needs to do. And it has more than enough energy to do what it needs to do without all these thoughts in the way so much.
Okay.
Lovely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Last but not least is Sheena.
Hello, can you hear me?
I can. Can you hear me all right?
Yes, I can.
Thanks for waiting. Sorry it's been so long.
I've had to write it down because I keep forgetting everything. So. It's about that question about I want, and, mm-hmm. you know, the desire. Because like the noumenon doesn't want anything. And then you've mentioned the question is it really true I can't get what I want? Is that question to take you back to the noumenon to realise that you're not limited and undo? And is it to undo the belief that you've got the causality loop?
Yeah, the ego is going to, you know, you've seen that you've got some distance from ego, that none of that is really the real you, but we don't want these patterns still playing and therefore the experience still happening in our life. It'd be much nicer if our mind was empty of preconceived ideas, to allow something much more spontaneous and fun to happen in our lives. So although we know we're not the ego, we can do the contemplation to undo these egoic patterns. Because we could sit here right now and go, of course I don't want anything. You know, of course I'm not limited. But it's not going to undo the patterns energetically and therefore change your experience.
So could you ask either, could you ask, is it really true I want anything? Or is it best to use, is it really true I can't get what I want?
Either, really, they're both going to take you to the same place. One of them will have more of an energetic pull to you. That's the thing to sort of listen to. Okay. Which one feels more attractive? But recognition, really, it's not so much the question. It's the general idea behind all of my suffering has been this idea that I'm limited, finite, that I have to get what I need, I have to get what I want. You know, it's all kind of in opposition to how it is in a natural state, which is everything is going to come to me that I need effortlessly.
Yeah.
It's just undoing that root idea, isn't it? So that's really the actual specific words, the question. Important, just if you see what idea you're trying to undo.
Right. Because it's like, because I've like the pain that I've had down my side and stuff for like 15 years. Years or more now, I can't remember, which I blame myself a lot, blame myself for at the time. That's coming up quite a lot at the moment, that I'm getting quite frustrated about this pain, because I haven't always been, like I've went through phases where I haven't been frustrated and I just sort of accepted it was sort of there.
Mm-hmm.
But that's coming up quite a lot at the moment, that I'm getting frustrated that it's not gone. And is it been there that long just because it's always, I've been wanting it to go so much that it's continuing it?
Yeah, if you want it to go, it has to stay.
Right.
And you also will have to suffer from it. You know, that's the difference, isn't it? You said that there were times when you weren't suffering from it, even though it was there, so to speak, you know. So what you really want is to stop suffering. You know, that's what you really wanted.
Even when I've had times where I've not been as frustrated over it, there's still been that underneath that I want it to go away. But it's just I try to ignore it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the question really is, for me, it looks like what you want is to be your real self more. That's really what, you know, the place that isn't touched by anything that happens in the body and mind.
Yeah.
So a better question may be then, or a faster question, not necessarily better, but is it really true I'm not the self already? Or is it really true I'm limited? You know, or is it really true I've ever suffered? You know, those are the most direct questions in the end that I kind of used as a fixer. It just catches everything in that.
Right.
You know.
Is it really true I've ever suffered?
Yeah, because if we're coming from ego, then there's lots of things we want. And yes, we are suffering. And yes, it's going to take a long time to come out of that. But this question will bring you right out of it immediately.
Right, okay.
And again, just like we said with Mike, not stopping at the thoughts, and especially not stopping at the experiences. When the experiences start to get a little bit better, as you've noticed throughout this course, you've had more, you know, bliss and peace and things like that, which is great. But until that is unbroken and continuous, then the question still needs to be asked. Yeah. And your body, you may not be showing so much in your world, but it's showing in the body, isn't it, whether that belief is still playing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely.
Thank you. Okay.
Good.
Thank you.
Okay. Let me see if I can put this back on. Just for lovely. So hopefully you can all see me and still hear me. Just a long session, sorry, but hopefully it's been useful. And we'll upload these to the website as always. And fantastic, I'll stop recording.